This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, DGS 206 on the dot. Happy Stormy Tuesday. Got a storm rolling in. And then tomorrow is going to be windy. So I'll be super stressed out.
Mm.
I'm just going to face my fears. I'm taking my shirt off. I'm going out and walking around downtown.
Yeah. Well, you're not afraid of the wind for you.
No. No.
Just back home.
Yeah.
Does it make you feel less weird about it if you're not home?
No.
Okay. Because I didn't know if it was a like, oh crap, I don't want to be like in my, on my couch when a tree comes crashing through
weird?
The roof.
That's what you should be worried about.
So that's not what you're worried about.
No.
It's just the overall hassle of everything.
Yes.
I got you.
It's exactly
hassle
it.
Sucks.
It's hassle.
That would be that
hassle
too.
Hassle does suck.
Even if it gets paid for, like you know, insurance, it's still a lot.
So I've had several auto accidents.
Okay.
And we all know if you've had one, thank you, Andrew, how time slows down. And I don't think I've ever had that happen where I spent my weird time thinking, oh, I hope this doesn't hurt too bad. I hope I'm not injured.
Gotcha.
It's always, this is going to suck. I can play it out in my head. It's like, this is the whole thing and auto body and insurance and deductibles. And
yeah.
But you're acting as if the car accident has started. The trees are not about to blow over onto your house. So my question for you, I'm really not trying
you,
to be a...
I hear you saying it.
What's that?
I hear you talking.
My question, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but do you think that worrying about it makes it less likely to happen?
Yes.
Do you?
Okay.
Mm.
Now, that's what I thought.
Or does it just feel that way?
Now, I don't think that's true, but that's one of the reasons I do it.
Okay.
Because I think, if I really think about this, and then it happened, wow, that's amazing. So I'll make it as significant as possible.
Gotcha.
Like if that really happened, you know. Anyway, good news. Unless you wanted to go to Kegs and Eggs, that's pretty much sold out. Other than single tickets, all the tables are gone.
Wow.
So thank you for that. That's very cool. And that morning, we're having the KMOX First Pitch Breakfast, celebrating the 1985 World Championship team hosted by Tom Ackerman with Vince Coleman
as a
guest.
You've got to go see Vince Coleman, by the way.
It's a seated breakfast featuring delicious breakfast buffet, bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys, complimentary Budweiser draft beer, and a commemorative mug. And it is tables for two, four, five, six, or eight, and it's $60 a piece, so a table for two is $20. And I agree with you, Wheels. I think this is going to be a really cool event.
I mean, Vince Coleman's awesome. He's a great talker. He's hilarious. He's got a million stories, and he loves telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get food with that.
Come on, man.
Pretty neat.
On opening day, right.
Check out those menus online, baby.
They're posted online.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, honestly, the first time I ever got a chance to sit down in the same room and talk to Vince Coleman, I was like, this is the best. You knew it because you'd see him in interviews, but it's just when you're there in person, it's different. It's fun.
Is there anyone that stands out to you as your most exciting interview?
All ever?
Yeah.
The first one that really floored me as a kid growing up in Detroit was when I was doing national radio, and this is when I was pretty young, probably 27, and somebody threw Gordie Howe on the phone. Mm. I was like, oh my God. Like, that's my dad's hero. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That one was weird, but also because I was newer and hadn't done it as much.
Yeah.
That was probably the first one where I was like, oh my God, I'm nervous. This is weird. I had some weird ones, man. My favorite one was Spike Lee.
Hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
It was right after 9/11. And he was auctioning off his Knicks courtside seats for charity, you mm-hmm. know, to raise money for, I think, for firefighters or first responders and their families. I think it was scholarship funds maybe for kids. And he was so great. You know, we talked about that, but then he was just super friendly and wanted to talk ball. And it was just a really cool thing that he was doing, and he was very cool about it. And then somebody bid on them a ridiculous amount of money and then just gave the tickets to two kids who lost their dad.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
How great was that?
Rachel, Andrew, anyone that we've interviewed on the show that you were just like, oh, my God?
Billy Corgan, I was very nervous around.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And when I got to talk to Andy Cohen, I was pretty nervous, but he was so nice. He was like I tell people who ask me about it, like, he was just exactly who you wanted him to be.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
He is who he is on television, and was just very warm and very welcoming. So that made me less nervous for sure.
Yeah, I was very... I don't want to say pleasantly surprised with Andy, because there's no reason to expect him to be a jerk, but he's just such a big deal that I figured he would be.
Well, and he knows all the big deals too. Like, he's that connect between so many people.
But he really is so St. Louis.
Oh yeah.
Like when we spent, I don't know, 40 minutes backstage together when we were doing the political fundraiser, he was just peppering me with St. Louis questions. Like, he just... Who's a big deal? Who's not a big deal? You know, it's like, what's, you know, who's king of the city these days? I just kept answering me.
Yeah, he's like, me.
You're looking at me.
Yeah, I'm the king. Razor's Edge?
Yeah, a couple of things I want to talk about here. First thing, sometimes you just shouldn't make these inventions. Sometimes you have an idea and it's like, that'll be fun. And then you make it and it's like, shouldn't have done that. There was a stupid hackathon put on by New York University, just basically like people hacking different devices and turning them into something else. Someone hacked a Tamagotchi and combined it with a vape.
Oh, no.
And they said, if you do not hit the vape, the Tamagotchi will die.
Wow.
So your Tamagotchi's life is dependent on you vaping.
I like that.
I don't. I think it's awful.
I think it's cute.
It's terrible for your health. It's terrible for the Tamagotchi.
I think they should hand those out to kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they. I think vapes are not, and Tamagotchis are both not appealing enough to kids yet, but combining them.
Yeah.
Now there's a thought.
I never had a Tamagotchi. My brother did. I had a Gigapet, which was very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much I was sleeping as a kid, but I would, every night when I would go to bed, I woke up the next morning and the Gigapet was dead due to lack of feeding and other such things. Never lasted longer than a day.
But you got to start over again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did. Every day I got a new puppy. It was nice.
Did you try smoking it?
I didn't try taking a big old hoot off the Gigapet.
Did any of you do the fake baby exercise?
Oh,
yeah.
They had that at my school.
An egg?
They made us take care of an egg, like a raw egg, so it would break if you dropped it or whatever.
See, Roxanna, they gave us a real baby.
Oh.
They just had them laying around.
Hey, don't lose that, okay?
Yeah. We need this back at the end of this lesson.
Reach into a bag full of babies and pull one out. All right, Dave, you're next.
No, we had the baby at my school, and the baby broke the week before it was my turn to take care of the baby.
Were you relieved or sad?
I was kind of relieved because my brother had done it 2 years prior when he took the like home ec class or whatever. I think it was called family living at my school. Mm-hmm. And it was actually very cute. He did a very good job taking care of the baby. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like in the living room watching TV and like making sure the baby was facing the screen as well. Like, after a while, it started to feel like the baby was part of the family. It's kind of nice. But it would cry in the middle of the night, and I didn't want to deal with that. So I was pretty relieved.
How did the baby break?
I don't know. Someone else was watching the baby and
like dropped it on
I don't know.
His
I think
head?
It was like, just like we had like the one piece of equipment that like dozens of kids would use every year, and I think it just kind of got worn out.
I remember we didn't have a baby, but one time in sixth grade, they brought in, I can still see it in my mind, it was like a flat thing, and it was a red-haired kid, looked kind of like Wheeler,
oh.
in a baseball uniform, and you would put a lit cigarette in its mouth, and it would smoke, and then it would fill its little lungs up, and they'd turn black. But what I remember was we were in class, and the teacher lit up a cigarette and put it in the thing's mouth. And I was just like, he smokes. Oh, my God. You know, like back then, every teacher smoked. Every human smoked. But I was just like, this can't be happening. I just remember that so well.
I love that in order to teach you guys to not smoke, a cigarette was necessary.
Yes.
They're like, look, you're going to have to buy a pack for this.
People just didn't have to light it up in the classroom.
No.
70s were different. Just wild.
We had
no seat belts for kids in cars.
We had a wrestling team, fifth and sixth grade, and we had a meet one night in the cafeteria, and all the parents came, and we showed up, and the coaches were like, 'cause no shorts, no singlets, just street clothes, and the teacher, the PE teacher, the coach was like, we want you all to kind of look the same like you're in uniform, so just strip down to your jeans. So we had like a whole night of little boys wrestling wearing nothing but jeans and shirtless. That happened.
Hmm.
Yeah. My dad wore a suit. My mom wore a pink dress.
No.
Do you know this story?
Yeah.
About Johnny Milky?
I don't remember that name. Oh, because you beat the crap out of
beat
him.
Beat the living
to impress
snot.
A girl, right?
His twin Johnny sister. Milky.
Well, no, she was best friends with Nancy Noel. And I thought by just, first of all, I thought I was going to have to wrestle Brad Wells. And Brad had beaten me every day our whole life. And we get there and he's like, Glover, you're wrestling Johnny Milky. And I'm like, freaking yay. So, because I knew I could beat him. And so rather than just pinning him, I went like WWE on him and was like body slamming him. And I would get him pinned one, two, then I'd let him up and kind of run around the mat just thinking, well, this is what women want.
He's like, this is wrestling at the Chase.
Yes, it was. And then afterwards, Patty Milky's in tears, and Nancy Noel said to me, one of the only things she ever said to me, you're the meanest boy.
Well, you weren't the nicest
that
boy.
Day
that
you
moment.
Were pretty mean.
It was a miscalculation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on with Razor's Edge. I want Kendrick Lamar and Drake to move aside. There is a new beef in town, and that is between Joe Rogan and the Girl Scouts.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Joe Rogan recently went on his podcast and called the Girl Scout cookies toxic as expletive. And then the Girl Scouts have hit back and said the health and safety of our customers is our top priority. They say the study that Joe Rogan is referencing was not peer reviewed. But there is a study saying that those cookies are pretty toxic. So more research is needed. Yeah, just processed and, you know, using stuff that's approved by the FDA and everything, but is a little sketch on some people's radar.
I'm a hypocrite on this because Phoebe was a Girl Scout and I bought all the cookies. But I've always felt my whole life like this is what a scam. Like, I know Girl Scouts get to do some cool stuff, but just we're going to use child labor to go sell to the neighbors and everyone at dad's office. And it just seemed like, just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get what you're saying. I think we looked it up recently, and the Girl Scouts get to keep like 20% of the sales for their troop, which doesn't seem like a high enough number to me. But I was never a Girl Scout. I'm not going to get involved. I don't want to get in the middle of this beef between them and Joe Rogan.
Did you want to be a Girl Scout?
For like an afternoon there in the park across from my house, the Girl Scouts were cleaning it up and doing a wonderful job. And I was like looking out the window watching them. And I'm like, boy, I wish I could join in. But I was the weirdest, shyest little kid where even if I was like directly asked, would you like to do this? I'd be like, oh, no, absolutely not. No. So my mom did. She was like, well, are you interested in becoming a Girl Scout, honey? And I'm like, no, never. But all day, that's all I wanted to do. I don't know. But it was fleeting. It wasn't like a burning desire I carried with
when
me.
When did you come out of
years.
Your shell?
I was just talking about this the other day with one of my friends. Definitely when I started doing radio, because that coincided with me working at Radio Shack. So it was like I was taking classes on like how to speak and how to enunciate and how to communicate with people on top of working a job where you're forced to communicate and you're it's like, okay, this is either going to be a good interaction or a bad interaction. And it's kind of on me as the retail worker to guide it in that direction. So that really helped break me out of my shell for sure.
Were you good at selling stuff?
I was decent. I think I did an okay job. One more story for Razor's Edge, and then we'll take a break.
Yep.
Texas may rename the New York Strip steak in a direct shot at the liberal Empire State, saying liberals shouldn't get the credit for the New York Strip because the Lone Star State is the cow capital of America. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said Texas Strip steak would better reflect that status.
At least we're focusing on the important things.
Yeah, I don't know who you go to.
You
got to
have
like
freedom fries with that.
Like, do you go to each individual grocery store's butcher and say, like, stop labeling it this way. It has to be Texas Strip steak. Like, okay. It's just a little silly. Thought it was kind of funny.
Okay. This leads me to a really good topic for after the break, and I'll give it to you now. Is it really possible for either political party to truly change culture through their policies and executive orders and such? 225 DGS. So what do you think? Each political party feels like they know the way society should be. I think the Republicans are more overt about it. I think the Democrats are a little sneakier. Like, oh, everyone needs to be. But I think that they have a very specific who everyone means. Can they effectively change culture? Or they can they just make a portion of the country feel bad?
I think they can change culture within their own party. I think we've seen both parties take positions recently that they didn't have 10 years ago or weren't so overt about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And people want to fall in line with what the party is doing. So they can, yeah, they can kind of push, kind of expedite things on their side, but as far as flipping the other side to behave a certain way, I don't know the answer to that.
That's a good take, because it hasn't been that many years since Mitt Romney was kind of the leader of the party, and the Mitt Romney Republican Party and the Donald Trump Republican Party bear very little resemblance. That's a good point.
But which, this is to me, it's a chicken or the egg, though. Did the party change the people, or did the people change the party? In both cases, whether you're talking about the woke left or, you know, the MAGA right, did the Republican Party decide we're going to make people MAGA, or did there were there just so many people that wanted to go that way that they mirrored it? I'm not sure that I know the answer, but I think that that's maybe the first question is, do the parties actually push in the direction, or do they react from what they're getting from the people they need to vote for them? You know, I mean, because there was that long period of time and it pissed people off, and it probably is part of what put Donald Trump back in office was the whole woke movement. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean normal people that wanted to make normal points. I'm talking about people that just went too far. The people that were just going to try to stomp on everyone that said any made any little mistake. You know, not people that were trying to make a valid point because they care about other human beings. That's a different group of people. Because almost all of the things I'm trying to think of as examples, even if you go back to civil rights, I wouldn't say that the government made that happen. The government responded to what was happening within the population, right? I mean, there was a movement, right? There was a movement happening, and there were a lot of people supporting it, and there were a lot of religious people supporting equal rights. So I think it probably is the other way around.
Good discussion.
Yeah.
233 DGS on KMOX.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have the think tank coming up later with Kurt Barr and Alderman Joe Ballmer. That should be fun. You coughing over there?
What?
Oh, I thought you coughed.
No, I moved the mic. That's just...
Oh,
gotcha. I was coughing on the break. And so on and so forth.
How are we feeling?
Such.
I feel okay. I feel much better than yesterday. Yesterday I was very, like, malaised and just bleh. Feel better today.
I feel like I had a fever yesterday. I feel like I was sweating under my hat. Which is a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the hat soaks up the sweat.
There you go. And I wore it again today. So
okay. It dried.
Mm-hmm. See, that's such a boy thing.
It's real. If a breeze on it, you're fine.
You're so right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a new red hat.
Yeah.
From eBay. And I put it on and it was a little tight and weird. So I'm like, you're a tomorrow thing.
I'll feel better about that tomorrow.
Yeah, I didn't have it in me to wear a new hat.
Well, sometimes you don't.
You gotta save those new hats for like a day where you're really feeling yourself, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna take a risk and wear my new hat.
I need one of those days soon.
Come around.
I haven't had a day like that in a while.
No?
I'm really feeling myself.
Hmm.
And I should be. My golden cod is girthy.
Man.
There it is on the screen again.
That's got multiple layers of awesome.
Someone's gonna take that home.
So we got an angel. Is that an angel in the middle on the bottom?
Yeah.
Because it's a lady with wings. It can't be...
Trophy angel.
And then you got, what are those, eagles? And then you got a big old fish.
Yep. What more do you want?
I don't know, man.
My dad had a bowling trophy when I was a kid, and I used to play with that thing all the time. Who the hell plays with a bowling trophy?
I don't know. I kind of did stuff like that.
Did you?
Yeah. My dad had bowling trophies, and you get their stupid Little League trophies and stuff like that.
My dad was in a bowling league, and he had those silk shirts with, like, the Strikers or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just the coolest thing ever.
We should do a bowling league.
Do you like to bowl?
Not anymore. I mean, I did when I was a kid because my parents did that thing. They did the whole bowling league thing, and my dad did, too. And then when we were kids, we did, like, a Saturday morning one for, I don't know, a couple years or whatever.
Yeah.
It was fine.
I used to do it by myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, they'd drop me off on a Saturday, and I'd bowl a few frames.
I don't like the real fancy bowling alleys that you can go to nowadays.
Oh, they're so good. The ones that keep score for you?
No, I like an
old-fashioned
bowl haven in Alton, Illinois, you know?
Kind of with you. Shout out. I want to post the pic that I sent you guys, but I just don't know like the etiquette of posting a picture with people in it who I don't have their permission. But we had a they had a NOTA meeting last night, No One Dies Alone, that I'm a part of, and there were 15 new volunteers, all from the DGS, and they asked me to come by and say a few words, and it was really cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, really, really cool. And I cried. They're probably thinking, what a freak.
I don't think that.
No.
Just based on what it is and what you're doing, I don't think anyone thought you were a freak for that.
I don't know.
I think that was probably...
I cried too much.
Yeah.
I was crying on the way there. I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I started crying.
Yeah.
And so then when I walked in, I was already kind of misty.
Uh-huh.
It's one thing to be like, hey, everybody, I'm Dave. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'm getting a little misty. I just walked in and started crying.
I don't know. It might be a little weird if you were like happy, happy, joy, joy in that scenario.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And also, you're returning to the place where you lost your mom, and you're, you know, that's your connection to NOTA, was they helped your mom out. I mean, it hasn't even been a year. Like, of course, it's a very emotional thing.
You're making me feel better about
it. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
We hear stories every day on the news about just horrible things that happen. But one from a couple days ago on the local news just got me. And it happened somewhere in North County and the middle of the day. And I wrote down Mazda because it was a Mazda that was going down the road and just veered into the wrong lane and hit a Jeep and killed everybody in it.
Mm.
Isn't it just crazy how life hangs in the balance with someone dropping their phone and trying to pick it up or just doing, you know, something stupid? I mean, of course, when someone drinks and drives, that's an obvious one, but you don't even have to do that. You can just, like, a couple pounds of pressure to the left, and you end someone's entire life. Just, I know that's a thing, but sometimes it just, like, really hits me. I'm like, God.
Yeah.
We're just, like, that close.
Yeah. And in the past, it was a different kind of close. It was different things, right? You're always this close to catching an infection that would kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, a cold could kill you or whatever. And now it's just different stuff. Now it's a car going 80 miles an hour down the road.
They're talking about, we talk about mental health on the show a lot. And I talk about my own and lack thereof. And they believe that in the next few years, they will have brain scan technology that can basically say, here's what you have, here's the severity of it, and here's how we're going to treat it.
Huh.
Isn't that something? Because, you know, you can't take a blood test for depression. I don't think you can. It's just clinical and how you present and the words you say to a physician and they say words back to you. But to be able to just get in an MRI machine or whatever it is and have them go, yep, here's what it is. Your brain is shaped like this and therefore you feel these things.
So this is the world we live in where the really, really smart people are doing things like that and trying to figure out how we can get a better handle on what's going on and why it's going on. And I popped onto Twitter yesterday and there's somebody on there who paid for an ad, and all the person's ad was depression is a choice. That's literally all this person did. And I don't know if this is a person trolling, trying to get attention, or if it's one of those jerks that actually believes that nonsense. But yeah, because somebody's going to make that choice.
Like, yeah,
that's the world we live in, though. And of course, that's what that platform allows. They will allow someone to pay to say something that is completely undocumented and completely against what the research says, and it's totally fine. We're gonna let you pay to put that out there to people that don't follow you.
Yeah,
everyone gets to see your words because you gave us a little bit of money, even when those words are completely against what the people who study the phenomenon understand about that phenomenon.
I've asked you guys this before, but I'm going to ask you again. Do you think there's a better chance than not that this level of intrusive communication that we have, like what you're talking about in social media, do you think there's a better chance than not that it backs down, whether we get tired of it or something really goes sideways and we all pinky lock to not do this anymore? Or do you think this is just the new normal for the foreseeable generations?
I think it's the new normal. And I hate to say it like this, but I think it's just kind of time to get used to it in a certain respect.
Mm-hmm.
I think the internet has overtaken real life, and we now find things on the internet to be more important than day-to-day
life. Wow, that's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah. We all, I do think there will be an element of people that will just say, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because we all have that control. We all have the ability to say, I'm done. I'm done on X, I'm done on Facebook, I'm done on TikTok. I'm done with it all. We all have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways to get information. They take longer. Like, I'm on Twitter for convenience. That's my excuse. And that stuff, while it will irritate me and I'll bring it up on a show, it's not sticking with me. It's not something I'm going to, you know, be losing sleep over or anything like that. But for other people, it probably will. And I think someone else would be like, this is affecting me too much. I can get rid of this.
Yeah.
And there are other options. I mean, we know Blue Sky exists. You know, there are other choices for places you can go to get a similar thing. It's not as fleshed out, but a similar thing without that kind of nonsense.
Speaking of done with it, you're done with the Pete Rose stuff coming back?
God. Oh, I almost swore.
Yeah, you really came
through. Wow. Man, that was close.
Not in front of the cod.
I can't. Why do we do this on a rinse, wash, repeat cycle? I understand why it came up now, because the president said he's going to pardon Pete Rose. Why, I don't know. Why would you stick up for someone who broke a rule in his sport that is the rule you can't break? It's in every clubhouse, in Major League Baseball since the Black Sox scandal in 1919. It's been over 100 years. It has been the number one rule to not break in Major League Baseball. So you got that. This man, I can't, I repeat this every time because people forget this or they ignore it or they don't care. This is a man who at 34 years old, a married 34-year-old Major League Baseball player, had a years-long affair with a teenage girl who was underage when the relationship started and by all of today's standards would be wildly underage because at the time, 16 was age of consent in Ohio. And he admitted it. This is not some story that somebody... He admitted it.
So what do you think it is?
I don't know. Why can't we just get past this? Pete was a raging jerk. He was a terrible person. He was an inveterate gambler, a nonstop liar. He was a cheater, both in sports and on his wife. And he slept with an underage girl. If that happened now, that person would be washed away from society. But people just forget, why do we do this? Why would you take up for that? There is no reason to take up for that man.
You met him, right, Rach?
Yeah. He was fine. But I get everything Wheels is saying.
Oh, he had a personality.
Yeah, no, he was
he
like
He was very
nice.
Engaging. I've talked to him. I've had him on shows over the years. And I told him, his people, when they were trying to book him, like, if you put him on with me, it's not going to be friendly. I'm going to have to ask him about all the gambling stuff and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple times they said, yeah, he'll pass. And a couple other times they said, yeah, he doesn't care. He'll do it. He'll handle it in his own way. But like at that time, we didn't really know as much about the whole underage girl thing. That wasn't as widely publicized because that was that was late 90s. And the Dowd report had not really been made public at that time. And this is a known thing. So unless you are a stat nerd who only cares about him being recognized as a Hall of Famer in baseball, I get that argument. I've always argued he should be in the Hall, it's fine, but he should have never been around Major League Baseball ever again after what he did. But if that's the only thing you could possibly do, and you're only doing that on technicalities and on nerdy details that only the most diehard baseball fans are going
to
care about.
Yeah, you can go to any bar in South County tonight and say Pete Rose, and there will be a certain number of people who just romanticize it.
Yeah, and I would sit there and ask them all the same question like this, and I guarantee you there's no answer for it. Or they won't believe it, even though he admitted it. He admitted it when when it was in court. He said, yeah, but she was legal. We never went to Kentucky. We only did it, or we only met in Kentucky where it was legal and not in Ohio where it was illegal.
Yikes.
Like, he explained it and didn't, again, even if 16 was legal and that was, quote, legal, is it still not wildly immoral for a guy twice her age who's married with children playing Major League Baseball to be carrying on with a 16-year-old, even if that was legal at the time, why would you give him a pass on that?
Glad I asked him.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand why people just don't. He is a horrible person. He was a great baseball player. He had an entertaining personality. He was engaging for sure. He could make you laugh. He was funny. But he was a terrible guy. That is not somebody you go to bat for.
I've got to get the cod out of here.
The cod's too getting powerful. Upset.
Cod's brand new. Cod's like, who's the red man? Why is he saying GD and he's so mad?
I almost did too, man.
No, that's about as close as you've come.
But that topic, and I know I'm different than most. I've had to talk about Pete Rose for 30 plus years. Because in sports radio, and especially at the time when I came up in the 90s, this was one of the biggest stories in sports. It never stopped coming up in the 90s. This was always a topic because that process was happening then, right? The Dowd Report happened in the 90s. He was still trying to get back in baseball. He was still lying about the gambling thing, which he eventually later on came around and admitted. So I have been around this and covering it for 30 years. And that maybe that's why it irritates me so much, because this is all known. It is such old news. And then you get a bunch of dopes who will see a tweet like this, like, yeah, free Pete Rose. Really? You'd say that if he had an affair with your 16-year-old daughter? You'd be trying to beat the crap out of him if he did that with your 16-year-old daughter. Yet people want to defend this guy. He is a terrible person. Let his reputation be what it is.
So you're saying there's a chance. Times today. I guess it's all true what your girlfriend say, but you don't ever want to see me again. 253 DGS. I know not everyone is watching us on TV.
Although somebody has us on their actual TV.
Yeah, John does.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Andrew, you were just in repose, my friend.
Yeah, sorry.
You were kicked back watching the rain downtown.
I am not quite 100% yet, you might say. So there have been the occasional moments of astral projecting into a different plane of existence. I'll tell you what, though. When I was sick, at one point I had the show on my television.
Did you?
It was a joy.
Fun.
It was a treat. It was a lot of fun to just kind of like listen to and watch the show.
Yeah.
And not have any, you know, not be any more participated than that. It was neat. It was fun. It was like, wow, look at this.
And now I'm picturing that that's how you were laying when you were listening to
Yes.
us.
Oh yeah.
It is very, very close. If my mouth was not open a minute ago, it was open at the time. Watching the show.
I've still been there.
Slack jawed.
That was like poster worthy.
Yeah.
You know, like that image is saying like, hang in there, baby.
It would be like, it'd be like Mondays, right?
No, let me just congratulate ourselves. But when I am off and listen to the show, I find it very entertaining. And I always tell you guys this, it's such a backhanded compliment, but it takes so much less to entertain me, at least, than you would think. Like, I just love hearing interesting people talk.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of all political shows. I'm not a big fan of, you know, wank wank morning shows. I just like listening to interesting people talk, whether it's a podcast or it's terrestrial radio. And I think we have that. Not everyone agrees, but I think we have a good group and a good listenership. And I don't know, it's just kind of fun to get together.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Friends talking.
Crap all over Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, take that, Pete.
Don't bring him up, man.
Pete Rose.
Here's how rich I want to be. Someone just paid $88,000 for a Cheeto that looks like Charizard, the Pokemon.
Mm, yeah, I saw this.
And then
did it look like
it.
Charizard?
Oh, I just saw the story. I didn't see the Cheeto itself.
I'm going to look it up.
Are they going to eat the Cheeto? Like, what's the goal?
Yeah, good question.
Put it in one of those, like, those slides you put a Pokemon card in. You know what I'm talking about, Andrew?
I do.
Or a baseball card.
I mean,
top loader.
I mean, it looks like it.
I'm embarrassed that I know this, but if you go to eBay, you can find all sorts of food items that look like people.
Yeah.
Have you ever bought one?
No.
Have you ever thought about buying one?
Yep.
It looks like it's a flaming hot Cheeto.
Oh, it does look like
What was the one you got closest to buying?
I think it was a potato chip that looked like Colonel Sanders.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys are impressed by that.
Do you remember how much?
Like $30.
I might pay $30 for that.
The closest I ever came to buying something stupid, was the outfit that Vince Vaughn was wearing when they played football in Wedding Crashers. And it was on sale for like $500.
Oh, man.
And I just kept picturing myself walking out at every party I ever threw, which has been none, wearing that outfit.
You would look like a kid in a dad's clothes. He's huge.
Yes. You can call it
lack of confidence. So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.